Muriel.
That's what we were looking for before. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
25-8. Yes, the bill that has passed the upper house, which is aiming to try and stop euthanasia of dogs, but it coincides, of course, at a time when we're seeing a lot of pounds taking on puppies or I guess dogs that are being handed back after the great adoption that we've seen during this pandemic. The slaughtering of 15 dogs and puppies by the Berkshire Council in August sparked outrage in some sectors, not only within the Animal Justice Party but throughout the community. And a crossbench bill to outlaw what's called convenience killing in pounds has passed the New South Wales upper house. This happened last week. It is set to be tabled in the lower house in the new year. Now, Emma Hurst is a member of the Legislative Council and is from the Animal Justice Party, was part of that bill. Good morning to you, Emma.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello there. Now, the numbers that we're looking at here of animals that have been euthanised, they're quite high. What verification do we have of these? Where are these numbers coming from, Emma?
So the pounds actually collate those statistics themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, as you say, you know, we're looking at about 4,000 dogs and 8,000 cats in the last financial year that were killed in New South Wales pounds. And it's important to remember that only a very small percentage of these animals were actually killed because, you know, they were so unwell it would actually be cruel to keep them alive. So the majority of those animals that are being put down are healthy and rehomable animals, and that's the big concern.
Okay, but look, obviously this is really sad to see animals being put down, but I guess the other question is if they're not put down, then what happens to them?
So all our bill actually does is ban what's called convenience killing. So it will stop the killing of healthy, rehomable animals by actually making it mandatory for councils to work with rescue groups and to allow rescue groups to rehome the animals on death row. You mentioned the incident at Berkshire Council. Now, there was two rescue groups that were actually offering to take those animals in and find them loving homes, but the council shot them anyway. And what we found from that incident is that it's not just Berkshire Council, that there are a few councils that are also doing this within the councils, that it's easier and it's cheaper to just kill the animals than actually work with rehoming groups. So, look, this bill won't fix the whole problem. It's really the tip of the iceberg, but it will reduce some of those euthanasia rates.
How does this tie into so-called puppy farms?
So I've actually got a bill that we're taking to debate today around puppy farms because, look, it's not so much just that I don't want to put over pressure on rescue groups to have to take all these animals in. Obviously, that's what we need to do is actually reduce the number of animals that are ending up in pounds in the first place. And the first step of that is to outlaw puppy farming in New South Wales, which they've done already in Victoria. These are intensive factory farms for dogs, essentially. And of course, when we've got an oversupply of animals, we see a lot of animals ending up in pounds. And so we need to regulate puppy farming and support smaller ethical breeders.
So how do you reduce demand then by doing that? Do you push up the price? Because obviously the demand for pets is increasing because they are, I guess, they're almost fetishized in our society, aren't they?
Yeah, and look, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily about reducing the demand. I mean, obviously, companion animals provide a lot of love and a lot of comfort for a lot of people, but it's about education. And so a lot of it is about, you know, encouraging people to dissex their animals and also having subsidised dissexing programs so we don't have animals having unwanted litters of animals. And it's also about making sure that people realise that an animal is a lifetime commitment. So encouraging people not to, for example, buy a dog for Christmas as a gift or something like that. It's about, you know, doing that early research. We always encourage people to actually go to rescue groups and save a life if they are looking to bring a companion animal into their home as a number one priority. It's not so much about bringing the price up. And in fact, what I've heard in my research for my puppy farm bill is it's often the puppy farmers that are pushing the price right up. A lot of these ethical breeders will often have a waiting list of several months, and so, you know, there's no sort of in a spare of the moment buying of an animal. Yep. You know, you often meet with the breeder and the mother and you talk them through with it, and so there's a big process.
Well, in some ways, I guess the more expensive it is, the sort of more prized the animal is too.
Yeah, it can be really problematic. And, we've heard horror stories, of people spending $10,000 on an animal, and because they've come from a puppy farm, they've got all these sort of health conditions well. So,
All right, well, the bill has passed the upper house. You're expecting it to go to the lower house in the new year. Have you got an idea of how it might go?
Look, it's really hard to say at the moment. The bill's got carriage with independent member for Sydney, Alex Greenwich. Look, we definitely had the numbers in the upper house, but we didn't have the government support. But obviously we're going to have to sit down with the government now and talk them through it, because I think it's a really simple, straightforward bill.
All right. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Emma Hurst, who is an MP from the Animal Justice Party. We thought while we were talking about this, we might just get Dr. Sandra Hodgins on, who is a board of director at Maggie's Rescue, just to talk about a little, briefly, about some of the behavioural issues that your dogs, and possibly cats, but probably more your dogs, might be going through at the moment as people come out of lockdown, because they're probably reacting to the fact that you're not at home nearly as much. Morning, Sandra. If I press the button, that works better. Hello, Sandra.
Good morning.
Hi there. Yeah, I take it this is probably happening in a lot of households.
Absolutely, yeah. The interest in owning a pet during COVID was incredible.
Yeah.
All of the rescue groups emptied of their adoptions, and some of our months in the vet clinic were 50% busier. We saw about an 80% increase in new puppy ownership.
Mm. What is the advice for those folks, especially if they have picked up puppies during the lockdown, about sort of, re-entering the normality?
You need to train your puppies to be used to being alone. And if you're not an experienced dog person, I'd suggest getting help. Your vet can help. There are Delta accredited trainers around. If you're going to use the help of a trainer, use someone who's qualified, and they can help you train your dog to spend time on their own and not be distressed when you start spending more time away.
Okay. I wonder what you think about the bill that's just been passed.
In essence, I support it, but I am concerned. I started being a board member for Maggie's because they were underfinanced, and I'm helping with fundraising as well as the vet work.
Yeah.
And to rehabilitate a dog with behaviour issues is really complex and expensive. So a lot needs to be done for training the foster carers as well as training the animals, and that's professional help from specialist behaviourists in a lot of cases. We used to see surrenders from people who'd moved house, they got a new baby, those sorts of things, but now we're seeing 95% of surrenders due to behaviour problems.
Right, okay. And is that something that that owners are going to be able to identify early on, or is it, is it a response to bad owners? What's the cause of it?
No, it's just what dogs get used to, and that reinforces their behaviour from when they're young. And if they get used to certain behaviours, they become ingrained. And it's about picking up those things early and trying to get help to modify the behaviours. Some dogs have extreme mental illness as well.
Right.
So sometimes it's not a training issue. Sometimes these dogs literally have mental illness that needs to be diagnosed.
Okay. All right. It's a big issue, that's for sure. Hey, Sandra, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Dr. Sandra Hodgins, who is a board director at Maggie's Rescue and also the owner of Summer Hill Village Vet. It's 16 to 8. Miss an interview on your favourite show.